You have decided to catch up on the Kennedy Malloy Drive Show. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, hello, Australia, and welcome to the big Thursday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hi, Mick Malloy. How are you going?
Hi, Dangerous Dave.
Hello,
how are you?
Mick. G'day, Jane.
All good. Here we go.
Yes.
A big Thursday show. Apocalypse Watch is full as a good. More border wars.
Mm.
WA and New South Wales are now at each other's
throat.
This we'll
is
get
outrageous.
To the bottom of that.
Yeah, we will.
Yes.
The French have gone mad. They've
they
thought
done?
Of a brilliant way to save the economy of France and involves selling one of their most famous icons.
Oh.
Wow. Can't wait to get to the bottom of that. There's an AFL bonk ban. No bonking if you're single. How do you teach an AFL player not to have sex?
Know.
Good luck with that. We'll put that up on blocks. Also, what's the rules in your home? A shared house? Have you had to change
that's right.
things up?
What do you bring into the house?
We will speak to everyone we can about these issues, Jane.
We will do that. We've got a crime report as well coming up.
I can't wait.
Yeah, we always love our...
That's chock-a-block.
A Kennedy Malloy crime report style, isn't it?
Well, okay, and guess
we
what's
to get,
back?
What?
Chick flick alert.
Well, we hope to get to the chick flick alert.
Chick
we totally
flick
do today.
Alert. We've mentioned this before, but poor boys, coming out of lockdown, there's going to be pressure. You need to know what you're doing. Who's our guest today? It's Aaron Rosenberg.
Nice one, Rosie.
And we'll also welcome he's probably the best chef in Australia at the moment, if not the world. Ben Shuri is joining us.
Oh,
and he's going to talk about the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, which is now online, which means everybody can attend.
Oh.
You just don't have to go to Melbourne.
You better bring me a cake as well.
No, you've got to... Well, there's a special type of person that gets
earn
a Attica cake.
Shut up, Dave.
That's me.
Really?
Hey, it's Gone Wild Day. It's Thursday's Gone Wild Day.
We love that. We'll take your calls. We'll take your
special
tweets. We might get to
that.
Greg Norman's house. We might get to a couple of others, the Nutty Beardos and some strange language coming out of the UN. There's lots to
It's a very
discuss.
Busy news day today. It's very, very busy.
But let's start at the top. What were we going to talk about in the opening? I have no idea.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. Well, Dangerous Dave is in the studio and SCA has some social distancing criteria now that when you're working in the studio and Dave's there and Whitney and James are there, that you must be apart from each other 1.5 metres. So there's stickers that
everywhere.
Have been put down everywhere.
Okay.
Everywhere.
So just to show you, because we're so stupid, we don't know how far apart 1.5
metres. I think the only exception is with Dave, it's 2.5 metres.
How dare you?
Just to be safe. Just
You've
to
been
be
in the studio with him. How far is it across the desk?
Well, from where I sit, it's 2 metres from where you sit from
two
me.
But, you don't want to be downwind.
What are you saying? I don't have
Nobody does that when I'm there.
It gets a bit woofy in there.
No.
Need to open the door.
Not when I'm present.
Jane, I'll tell you where you were present. It's according to the hot breakfast in Melbourne this morning. It was a bombshell because we've all been led to think that you were like big in the musical circuit. You had your own band and used to tour.
Nobody's ever thought that.
The word on the street is you used to sing in coffee shops.
No, that's not. I've never sung in a coffee shop. I've sung in pubs. That's where I used to sing.
You sang in coffee shops. You were like our Phoebe from
not.
Friends.
I
smelly
was
cat.
Not. I didn't have a smell vision. Smelly cat. No, what do they think I'm? Some sort
How
of
How annoying
beatnik?
To be singing. Because shut up, I'm having my cappuccino. What would you sing? What would you sing in a coffee shop?
It's just as annoying when I sang at the Skinny Dog Hotel and they go, number 64, your Bill Parmigiana's ready. And what I'm trying to sing, you know, comes
Did
a
you
time
you used to have to give
Bill
those
Young.
Out on stage?
Well, I didn't. I'd be singing them. But then I also had a job where I worked as a waitress and I was on the microphone. I did get sacked from that job, though. That was in Canberra, another job. Yeah, look. I've never played. There used to be coffee shops
you used
where
to announce
in the
meals.
60s.
You used to announce the meals.
Oh, yeah, I used to announce the meals. That's another story.
Number 42, number 42.
But then I'd get Parmigiana. A bit carried away because I'd say, number 47, your Veal Parmigiana is now ready to collect. And it looks delicious.
Nice. I like that.
Those chips are golden. Oh, and the cheese is all melted.
That's
and
then good.
I'm going to go like this. And they go, Jake, get stuff.
Hope you don't mind, but
doing?
I've
Sorry,
had a couple
sir.
Of your chips.
That's right.
I got sacked from that. But I didn't sing in...
Well, Eddie McGuire said
what else did you get
what
sacked
what
from?
What did he say?
That's an interesting topic.
Oh, we'll get back to that. A few things. What did Eddie McGuire say about
this happened on the Hot Breakfast in Melbourne this morning with Luke Darcy.
Jane Kennedy's doing a gig with the Teskey Brothers tomorrow night, which we need to talk about.
Jane is?
What's she doing?
No, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Very good voice, Jane.
Jane used to sing in coffee shops.
Really?
Did they ask her to?
I was going to say. I've bumped into a few people who sing in coffee shops and you just sort of walk around the corner. Try and get as far away from the music.
Jane was a very accomplished singer with guitar.
Yeah, it's not like saying she played the My Music while she used to sing.
I've got a drive-by from them all there, including Rosie. Yeah. Which I'll forgive
Rosie
for.
Are you singing with the Teskey Brothers?
Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm introducing the Teskey Brothers and interviewing them on a very special YouTube show that's on tomorrow night called The State of Music.
You've got the guitar in the studio there. You can join in.
Sir Michael Gudinski had asked me to do this special favour.
You don't need a cowbell? Does anyone need a cowbell?
No, they don't want anything of the sort.
You mentioned we've got Ben Shurey coming in. Can I ask him if does he... Well, what would he think of Dave not wanting $56 worth of...
Oh, he's your top end of town kind of restaurant.
He's a very expensive restaurant.
Because, by the way, Dave, did you or did you not just spend $75 on a bottle of bourbon?
That was on special.
You bought a bottle of what?
Gentleman Jack, which I think
is you won't buy your family and treat your family for a weekend treat fish and chips. Nah.
Well, they're at home with their tummies rumbling. Well, Dad just is in the corner knocking off half a bottle of Gentleman Jack.
No way. That's terrible.
I don't see a problem with it.
You don't?
Right. Not at all.
We are going to go to a song.
Yes.
And when we come back, it's Apocalypse Watch and it's full. Trust me.
All right. It is it's a huge Thursday.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
We interrupt this program.
My message is...
How dare you?
Apocalypse Watch!
This is not a test.
Kennedy Malloy's Apocalypse Watch.
The country is at war with itself. This could end up in a civil war.
I don't like this at all.
The borders are crumbling. We're turning on our own. It's not a good look. It started with Queensland, New South Wales. The Gaza Strip, their border, as we call it. They're still toing and froing and chucking rocks at each other. Now, the great state of WA and New South Wales are at loggerheads. Who knew? They're at completely different ends of the country, but it's a spat. It's an old school, knock them down, drag them out spat.
It is.
I think the New South Wales Premier obviously wants to loosen it up, get everyone moving around. The WA Premier is having none of it. And we've got a quote from him.
She said, that the Chief Medical Officer said there's no health reasons to keep the borders closed. And she's saying, basically has said before, that he's got an election coming up and wants to remain popular. That's the other subtext.
He's been very strident. He has been making big calls in terms of the AFL
likes,
as well.
He was voted the most popular leader in a recent poll. But here he is thinking and saying he's been bullied by Gladys.
I can see Australia not reaching its potential if premiers don't take down their borders.
New South Wales had the Ruby Princess. I mean, seriously? And they're trying to give us advice on our borders? Seriously? I mean, do you think I should listen to them? I'm not listening to them.
Bang, he's played his joker. It's hard to come back from the Ruby Princess, isn't it?
Whoa. Can't we just get along?
Yeah, we could open our borders, but why would we listen to you, Ruby Princess?
Jeez, they're never going to let that one go, are they? I find it really difficult to comprehend because New South Wales, they've already set a date. I think that it's just the problem. People want to move on and they want to get the tourism industry, in particular WA and Queensland.
Well, you want to go to Broome, don't you? You said your first holiday is going to be Broome.
Open.
Well, you can't. Yeah. The border's not open.
Well, that's not fair. I'm a citizen of Australia. And who says, do they have to close the borders with the health? If Australia's number one health medical officer is saying it's fine, what old rule is this from 1812?
Right.
This is what I want to find
out. So what are you
going
to do, sneak in?
Yeah, how are you going to get in?
You're going to take some fruit? You're going to break all the laws?
Oh, that's a good idea. I can take a fruit bat. Don't mention the B word.
Do you know, because WA is so, like Perth is it's the most isolated capital city in the world.
Yeah.
And when you go there, sometimes you do feel like you need to change your money.
Yeah, it's a long way, isn't it?
It's a long way. Yeah, yeah. So I would have thought they'd have the...
It's very happy. It's a very happy place to be, I find.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, they're happy I'm not so happy at Subiaco Oval, weren't you?
Over there. Oh, no, I've never been more miserable in my life. I know.
They are tribal.
The worst. Hey, another victim of COVID-19, which I think is BS, no new emojis this year.
What?
Now, really? I find this bizarre.
That's
lazy.
The people
who are creating the emojis, what else have you been doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Too busy? Don't you think there should be? Now, I was thinking of some new emojis. Definitely. Oh. Hang on.
So there's an emoji ban, or they're just not releasing them? So
no, they're not releasing any. They said that they won't be seeing all new candidates like they usually have each year. Because, you know, they just feel the time is not right, and it's now come down to the delaying.
What about
the
one
next
with a mask? An emoji with a mask?
There's already one. Already got that. I've used that all the time. I say, sorry, can't go out, and then I just use that emoji.
Yeah.
Not till March 2021 are they going to be finalised.
March 2021?
No, September 2021. How hard is it? I'm saying you should create
a
face.
Knock up an emoji, you lazy tricks.
Create a balloon face, like it's your coronavirus face from eating so much while you've been in lockdown.
What about the coronavirus itself is almost an emoji. You know, when you see it, it's like big trumpet nose.
It is an emoji.
Yeah.
They could put one of those out, couldn't they?
Well, they could.
Whitney suggested a good one.
Oh, yeah.
It's like hairy lady one. That's a ripper.
Hairy fat one. A big fatty.
Yeah, big fatty.
Sitting in the house.
Grey roots.
Oh, my God. Grey roots one. Yeah. That is a nightmare for many people.
No emojis. Now it's kicking in.
No, that's not
what
fair.
Kind of world? Is it worth going on without the emojis? Started off as a bit of fun.
You don't use emojis very
much. I get the thumbs
much,
up from Mick now and then. You're a big thumbs up emoji.
No, he's very selective in his emojis.
Getting you off the phone.
He's very selective in it.
I've won. I'm partial to the bumblebee.
I know.
The bumblebee
gets special times.
I don't like talking about it.
All right. Why the bumblebee?
That's why I'm not going to ask you about the bumblebee. I wasn't even going to mention it, and you mentioned it.
Well, Dave's never got a bumblebee.
No, I don't know what it even means.
Don't worry.
You're not in the game.
I'm going to talk about France.
Oh.
Because
where's France? God, what have they done?
Well, they're in dire straits. They've just got so many people who've died of the virus, which is terrible, and the economy's down the toilet. Guess what they're planning to sell to raise money?
I have no idea, Jane. What is it?
The Mona Lisa.
The Mona Lisa.
What? Yes.
The most famous painting
in the world.
What are they hoping to raise?
€50 billion.
$89 billion is what they want.
$80 billion.
How French is that? How French is that? We have a problem with the economy. We need a vision. Sell a painting.
That's just one painting.
sell a painting, and you sell the Mona Lisa. $89 billion. We're out of the.
That is the most
French answer.
That's how they can get out of trouble like that.
Economic issue I've ever seen.
But what would Australia do if we had to sell something to save our dwindling economy? What would we do?
It'd be a big banana would start.
Totally. How much could you? Would that be like $1 million?
Sure. Iconic.
Keep climbing. It depends 1. How bruised 5? It is.
What about one Irwin? Just one would do it.
Australia Zoo.
The whole zoo.
Why don't we sell Australia Zoo to the Chinese and turn it into a wet zoo? So you can go there and enjoy the animals.
that makes sense.
And if you're hungry, you can pick one out and eat it.
I like this idea. I like your way of thinking. Come on. I think our listeners are going to have some good ideas.
How can we blast our way? What can we sell? What have we got? How can we blast our way out of our economic difficulties? 1-triple-3-5-3.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Legend of the cooking world, Ben Shuri, is going to join us in about 15 minutes from now. Adam Rosenbach's funny man as well in the second hour. This is Kennedy Malloy, Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy.
The French have gone.
That's me. That's me on the accordion, by the way.
Very good.
I did not know you could play the piano accordion so sweetly.
I can do it all. I can do it all.
Cowbell?
Hey, yes, the French are going mad. They are contemplating the sale of the Mona Lisa, which is held at the Louvre. It's the most... It's the most famous photo painting in the world.
Have you seen
personally,
it?
I prefer dogs playing poker, which I think is far more moving.
Yeah.
Right. Have you seen it, Dave?
No,
I've seen it. It's a bit, you know.
You go in, you go, there it is, and then you walk out.
It's not seriously. Very big, is it?
No.
She's not very hot. You know what I mean?
She's not very hot.
Hotter, and I expect bigger cans. You know, like,
if in fact she is. No,
but, well, that's right. It's just some to say it's dubious, it is autobiographical. Yeah. But how everyone say, oh, she's the most beautiful woman in the world.
Yeah. No. Who says that?
Oh, everyone does. Oh, the mystery and the.
Right.
If someone calls me, oh, you look like a Mona Lisa to me, I'd say.
Don't say
step
it.
Step off.
You look like Mona Lisa with a bung eye. You know what I'm saying.
No, hey, no good. So we were thinking, what does Australia sell?
What can we sell to raise funds? Mm. They expect to get $89 billion. By the way, you also told me they've got a pot plant hospital in France. France is hilarious.
France is funny because they're offering to rescue, replace and revive plants that have been left unattended during lockdown. So it might be office building or something where a pot plant's been left to wilt in the lockdown.
You know what?
Lockdown.
It's not surprising this country's never won a war, is it, when you think about it?
Seriously.
Too much time in the kitchen. Yeah. Oh, our food is so great and our fashion. Yeah, well, that's while hilarious. You were prancing around in your... Hort Coutre and your in your kitchen, we're out there winning two world wars. So,
they were well fed while they were hiding in the trenches.
That's right. That's right. Of course they were.
A good old hand croissant.
Their only great military leader really was a dwarf,
Napoleon.
Oh yeah,
and a chick. What was her name?
Oh, you know? Marie Antoinette.
Yeah.
Right. Let them eat cake.
What a nutter. No, the chick on the fighter.
Oh, Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc. Yeah,
Joan
of Arc. There. Hey.
We got there. So, luckily, I know my history.
Yeah.
Thank God.
You got there in the end. Ian's on the line. Ian, what can we sell to shore up some funds for Australia?
You know, it's funny. As soon as you told me what can we sell, the first thing that came to my mind was Tasmania.
Wow. You're joking. Okay. Are you from Tasmania?
Well, hang on.
No, I'm not. It's not even a part of the mainland. We can get rid of
it. No.
We'll sell it to New Zealand. They can have three islands. Yeah. What about that?
Mate,
I mean, sometimes I hear you, Ian. Sometimes you've got to cut off the branch to save the tree. And if it takes us having to look at all our Tasmanian listeners.
You think we have to let one of the children... Sophie's choice, is that what you're saying? Tasmania has to go.
I'll keep Tassie.
Tasmania has to go. Maybe Adelaide. Darwin stays. That's all I see. All right, Ian, that's a good call. Steve's on the line. Steve, what can we sell?
Sand, mate.
Sand?
Beach sand.
Beach sand. Well, we have the best beaches in the world.
Yes, we do, and that's a pretty good idea because so many beaches around the world have black sand, really rank sand, to be honest.
Didn't Condé Nast magazine rate a certain beach in Australia that has the best beach sand in the world?
Yep,
Everyone started driving there and going to it. So it's this tiny little coastal town that had traffic jams for about 3 miles. People come from overseas and want to go to see this little patch
of land. But see, that's good for the economy. That's what we want to get back and up and running, because imagine the fish and chip shop and the burger shop there when they all came to that town. That's what we want to see again. But sand is a very good idea.
All right. Well, you're thinking about it. Dean, what would you sell?
G'day, guys. I was more thinking about, well, they've got good artists. We've got good artist here. Do you remember?
Who's our best artist, do you think?
Mr. Hart. Why can't we sell him one of the ropes?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Hart, what have you done? Yeah.
That is quite ingenious. And then we could also do a Ken Doane painting.
What about Larry Pickering? Larry Pickering.
Starkers.
A calendar.
Starkers. Careful, this Starkers calendar. I mean, if you go up closely and have a look at some of that work, it's compelling.
Oh, it is. That's right.
I like your thinking, Dean. Well done. Hey, let's try Michael.
Michael,
you've got an idea. This is controversial.
No, this is a good one. Cockatoos. We'll sell them on... flood the market with cockatoos, sell them cheaper than the black market.
Mm.
It's got a twofold effect as well, because it's going to save all the farmers' crops and help them out too.
Not bad.
But what do they do with the cockatoos?
Cockatoo soup.
I don't like what's going to happen to them when they are exported.
Pet shops overseas.
Yeah, that's right.
My problem is they'll give you a mouthful as you go. Thanks for nothing.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I think we're done here. What we do, we've got another story that we need to raise, and Apocalypse Watch as well. There's an AFL have suggested a ban on bonking for its players. Wow. So, happily married AFL players, business as usual. Single players, single men.
Oh, really?
Aged, yes. I don't know, somewhere between age 21 and 24.
Well, what guy would want to have sex put it in their pants. Between that age group?
Well, that's right. And they're, you know, it's not like they're fit and running around like bulls in a paddock. Mm. Good luck on that. I think Jake Lever from Melbourne, has summarised the seriousness of the situation.
The single boys, there has been a few murmurs around that they're really disappointed, but it's really important to make sure that the whole industry is really safe.
I think that's pretty full on to be able to now say, again, is this the Big Brother world? They tried to do it initially, saying that you couldn't, if you were just seeing a girlfriend or a boyfriend, some of the premiers said, you can't go and see someone you don't live with.
No, so I think what? So, one positive test brings and the whole season's over. So right. I can see why they are concerned that this is going to...
But that can be the same for
night,
any business.
One what big night with a brazen hussy.
Oh, so it's a brazen hussy.
I'll tell you what, boys, spend them wisely. That's all I'm saying. The stakes are high.
Outrageous, really.
This is, and the NRL are thinking of introducing a group sex ban. I didn't know how serious the situation was. But you make an interesting point. So in shared households, so if you're in a shared household and there's three of you, do you have the house meeting, guys? No strays, no one after midnight.
But who's going to take responsibility for that? Who wants to be the nuff-nuff
Who wants to get COVID-19?
No one does, but, you know, you've got to be
it's pretty easy to get everything else.
Do you need another test?
No, I don't. Hey, this is interesting. So maybe give us a call. Have you come up with any rules yourself in your shared houses?
Okay.
In your dorm or what's going on? There was a shared house I heard of where one of the girls was working in a hospital and they asked her to leave because they didn't want her coming home. They just said, sorry, hey, you're doing great work, but you've got to go. And the landlord kicked her out of the house for being in a high-risk area. So... Well, it does happen. AFL players.
Yeah.
No sex for you. Jeez.
That's an oxymoron, isn't it?
Yes.
How does that work?
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Adam Rosenbach, who'll be joining us in the second hour. Funny man. We've got Ben Shuri, chef, coming up in a minute as well. Kennedy Malloy.
AFL bonk ban. I don't understand how you monitor it. I don't understand.
They've had to sit down.
Kind of
I want to be at this meeting. I want to find out what happened at the meeting that AFL Chief Executive Gil McLachlan, who we both know, he's got to sit down with the AFL board and say, let's come up with something hardcore here, because they've said players must not allow anyone in their home other than those who live there on a permanent basis other than an emergency for care or compassionate reasons.
That's emergency. I've got a stiffy.
Okay.
I'm saying there are players who...
It's an emergency.
It's bad luck. What if you meet someone and you're in your group of five and someone brings a five and you go, she's nice, I want to crack on. It's not happening. You're not allowed to be doing it. No. Mm.
I think
that's super tough, the system into three categories. This is for different offences, playing, you know, different sports that they're not allowed to play also. Intentional, reckless, and careless.
That's basically how it works, isn't it?
My God.
That takes me completely out of the game.
Forget having people go and watch the game. That's not the biggest problem they've got. Their biggest problem is... the bonk ban.
You know what the AFL needs to introduce?
What?
The cuddle curtain. Cuddle curtains in club colours.
Explain what that is to our listeners who didn't hear.
Well, it's like a shower curtain that's got holes in it you put your hands in so you can hug your grandmother. But
it doesn't necessarily have to be for a granny.
Like a giant dinger, isn't it? You put over yourself.
You brought the level down. You were being romantic.
I tell you, your wife would want a cuddle curtain. Some nights, after half a bottle of Fireball, she can see her putting it on, going, "Well, honey, I'm going to bed. Good night."
Pot calling, careful. Hens might have requested it.
Do we? I think we've got time to do this.
Yeah,
Dave,
let's
fire it up, please?
Whoa. Here it comes. Hey. Oh, hang on.
This is not a drill. Calling all men. This is a Category 5
Chick flick alert. Abort cinema. Abort cinema. Repeat, this is not a drill. Warning, warning. This is a fully blown chick flick alert.
Jeez.
Yeah, no, I don't like this segment. I don't like it.
I know you don't, but it's a warning for men all over the place to watch out. Don't go near a cinema. Don't go within 500 metres or you'll be lured into watching a chick flick. However, Jane, I'm going to change my tone slightly today.
Okay.
Because I feel the girls have been very good-natured and patient over lockdown. Mm. And in specifically, I cite a 10-part series called The Last Dance, which I think every man...
I think that's a good observation.
...in the world has watched. And the girls have been pretty patient. Guys, I think it's time to give one back. Give a little back.
I think that's very mature and very grown-up on view. And, in fact, a lot of the girls have absolutely adored that series, by the way. So they've got into it.
Sure
so
they do.
It's been a silver lining. And sure I'm hoping they have, that it might work the opposite way as well.
Well, it won't. It'll be hard yards. But you'll just have to suck it up, buttercup, and go along and see
what's your first
chick flick. Well, I'll give you one that I don't mind. You mind? What's the name?
Which one are you starting with?
I can't remember. Seriously Blonde, what's it called?
Oh, Legally Blonde 3.
Legally Blonde. Now, that's not a bad series. She's a very good actress.
Reese Witherspoon you're talking about.
Reese Witherspoon, very, very good.
I love Legally Blonde. I've even seen this as a stage show. I love it so
guys, much. I would suggest that's one you could probably get through.
Okay.
You know, there'll be moments. There'll be anxious moments. Well, I would suggest you. Do we have the trailer for that?
Not for that one. We don't. No.
Don't need it.
No.
Jane, you found a couple that the guys could tolerate.
I did, and this is because there's not a lot of movies being released at the moment in the cinemas because cinemas are shut.
Well,
so it's Netflix again, or Stan, or one of those Amazon Prime. Mm. Dave, have we got a trailer for a film, a show called Sweet Magnolias?
Yes.
Let's have a listen.
Oh God.
Here's my son's coach.
So there is a little something there. Your face is
gonna fade to black. Why does everyone think they can sit in judgment in my life? People are trying to help you because they love you and they believe that you deserve better.
You have truly found yourself a unicorn.
A unicorn with a six-pack.
Oh, wow. You said you wanted to build a life with me.
I believe there is not a problem that cannot be solved by having a drink and a talk.
That might be enough of that one, Dave.
Can I say something? You've gone too far. I said, let's have a go and let's do something nice for the girls, and you come out with that.
We've been very patient over lockdown. Lifelong friends Maddie, Helen and Dana Sue. They juggle relationships in the southern town of Serenity. You don't want to watch that?
Do you know what? I'm putting that up there with Mystic Pizza.
Knock that movie with Julia Roberts. That's her first movie.
Oh, good.
Don't you knock that. I've got another one there to try.
All right, here we go.
Guys like history.
Something that guys can see. Come on, give us something we can sit through.
Yeah.
What about, it's called The Great, and it's on Stan. Let's have a listen to this.
A toast to my new wife, the Empress of Russia.
It is.
No, you don't talk, my love.
Oh, of course. I would like to be useful to Russia to help its greatness.
You will bear my heirs. There is no higher use.
Rabbit! These sticks are to enhance your fertility, but I cannot work out whether we wave them over your womb or insert them into you. I'm pretty sure it's a wave them situation. Together, we could create a great Russia.
Okay, it's basically Pride and Prejudice set in Russia. It's about a romantic young girl who arrives in Russia in an arranged marriage to Emperor Peter. And I'm loving it, I must say. I'm finding it wonderful. No, not for you. What about Spinning Out, which is about a figure skating Olympic hopeful?
Jesus, Jane.
Have we got anything?
All you had to do was meet us halfway.
Listen.
You're a beautiful skater.
But I'm done. That was my last skate.
You're just a little scared.
I'm not a little scared. I'm terrified.
I've seen some of your old competition tapes. You were fearless.
Mom didn't think I could do this. I need to show her I can.
I just feel like we could go all the way to the Olympics.
You'll never be a champion. Never.
You'll never be a champion. That's what I've been waiting to hear. That's what you want. A figure skating Olympic hopeful struggles to balance love, family, and her dream of winning.
If I'm going to see an ice skating film, I want to see Tonya Harding bashing someone in the knee. That's all I'm saying.
That's not
bring back bad memories for me.
There's plenty more where that came from. Matter. There's your chick flick alert, man. I'll tell
Vancouver.
You what. No, right. Stop. We've been very patient, guys. So right. Now it's time to give
all right, guys.
Give a little
go
something,
early.
Something, as yeah. They say,
take your mobile.
Yeah.
Sit there.
Give
put
me
your
a little
earpods
something.
In.
Yep. Take your medicine.
Pretend you're doing it. And you can't even get. Yeah, well, all right, there you go. No.
All right, Ben Shuri, well he's going to join us right after this. Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Adam Rosenbach's not too far away. The Song Whisperer is coming up. Gone Wild as well. You're listening to Kennedy Malloy.
That's true. And we have someone on the line now. I've been, well, let's just say we have a bit of a relationship, Mick, and unfortunately you don't. With him.
He made you a cake and he hasn't made me a cake. So he's dead to me, this bloke.
He's not really. Here's Australia, if not one of the world's most accomplished, interesting, curious and clever chefs, I have to say. And we've got him on the line now. It's Ben Shuri. Hello, Ben. How are you doing?
Hey, Jane. Hey, Mick.
Hello, Ben. Hello. How are you?
Very well.
That's nice to meet you. Now, Jane got a cake the other day. Let's just get this straight out of the way. Well, because she got hit on the head. I've had many health issues over the journey. Ben,
well, that's
and,
true.
So far, nothing. Nada.
No, I know. Unfortunately, we've never met, Mick, have we?
It's for the best, Ben.
Oh, we'll rectify that, yeah. Ben. I will,
Ben, the reason
you
did give me is because you were very nice. Mick, I'm still waiting for my cake from you. But Ben felt sorry for me because I did get hit on the head. But Ben runs one of the most incredible restaurants in the country, if not the world, and has been affected severely by, Attica is the restaurant, by this COVID lockdown. Ben, how have you been coping through this?
Oh, look, I think like most people, Jane, we had a day which was a bit terrifying where we thought we would go broke. I thought, we'd be gone in about 3 weeks. And then, I sort of stopped feeling sorry for myself and I allowed myself that one day and just come into work the next day and we'd made plans to flip everything and start new businesses, really.
So and how did you do it? What was your way out? What was the reshaping of your business model? That was the key.
Well, I think, Mick, writing was on the wall. We needed to deliver to people at home and allow pickups. It was one thing we did, and we needed to do that at much more reasonable prices than what we're known for.
And we must say too, Ben, if I can introduce you to all of our listeners of Triple M, it's a very special restaurant, your restaurant. It's you don't take lots of bookings, and it's quite expensive when you think about it. It's a Michelin-star type
restaurant,
isn't it? It's an experience.
It's a special occasion restaurant is what I would describe it as.
Yeah, it's a weird place, It's a curious, small Australian business. It's kind of like a little bit of like an art project sometimes.
That's true.
We have a big team of 40 employees, and we cook for 60 guests 5 nights a week. That's our traditional business.
Ben, have you thought about a buffet?
Right,
thought about a buffet?
I've had a lot of time on buffets, Mick. I'm a bit of an expert, actually. Had about 10 years working on buffets in my life.
Okay. What about a Bain Marie? Is there any room for a Bain Marie at the top end of town?
Always a room for a Bain Marie. Always room for... Yeah, Bain Maries are underrated.
Underrated. I'm going to quote you, Shuri.
What I like, though, Ben, about your ability, which not only yourself, but many restaurants around the country, if not the world, have had to reinvent themselves. And instead of going, and I'm not saying your food's super posh, because it sounds that everybody can't relate to it, but you've had dishes
super
like...
Super posh? Your signature dish is a potato. It's a potato,
Ben,
and he doesn't even clean it.
No,
I actually dropped out there for a second, I think. I didn't catch that
it's the,
what you're saying, Jane.
We were saying that your dish, potato cooked in earth, Mick was saying, I'm saying you're not a posh restaurant because you will serve something like that. Mick saying, what the hell, you're serving a potato. But it's a different type of potato.
That's four wedges to me, four wedges.
Yeah, I suppose that dish is a few things. It was an old dish that, when dishes come off the menu at Attica, they never return, for one, until there's a pandemic, and then you bring them back.
And then you bung them on. But you also have, is it your mum's recipe for lasagna? And I've got to tell you, it's the best lasagna I've ever had in my life.
Oh, Wow, that's very nice to hear. Thank you. Lasagna is a very special occasion, very special dish in the Shuri household. It was our way of celebrating birthdays and Christmas. We didn't have ham on Christmas. It's lasagna.
Mm. Yeah. It's lasagna on Christmas.
Always.
I'm interested, Ben, when you say once it goes off the menu, it goes off the menu for good. Is that because you get sick of cooking it, or you're no longer interested in that dish, or that it's become so popular it's taken on a life of its own? Why would you just remove it?
It's kind of that kill your darlings mentality where, you know, if you allow those things to come back on, then you never change and nothing moves forward. So by changing the menu and not bringing dishes back, you always kind of have this forward momentum. And, you know, that's that little restaurant that we used to run prior to doing this takeaway project. You know, innovation is like the most important thing. So kind of always doing something new and interesting. And it's just a way of keeping yourself honest. Mm.
And you've said you took one day of feeling a bit sorry for yourself. And as I chatted to you, you know, you said there's people who are in far worse positions. Some of those have been the workers that you have who are perhaps not eligible for any award from the government. So you've been doing something innovative, which is a soup project, providing unemployed hospitality workers on temporary visas to get, basically to get fed.
Yeah, that's right. You know, actually we just fed, you know, them today, all these people have lost their jobs, and they're all, you know, highly skilled individuals and bring a lot to Australia. And unfortunately, they've, you know, been caught out by a little loophole, and they're sort of stuck in a bit of a no man's land with no work prospects, because there aren't really any jobs, especially in hospitality at the moment. And there is no sort of entitlements, any benefits or anything that they can get a hold of from the government. So they do find themselves in a precarious position.
That's true. Now, we better give a plug to something very important, which is the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. Normally, it's huge. The chefs from all around the world come. Renee Redzepki, which is one of my favourite people on the planet, Massimo Bottura, these are all huge names. Shane D'Elia, Dan Hunter, these are great names in the food world.
How's
You've
it
got
going
to do
ahead?
An online version. Yeah.
Online. Fantastic.
Yeah, clever.
That is a clever idea. We've been seeing you doing a bit of cooking online, Ben. Hey, Dave, Dangerous Dave here, what? Wouldn't buy his family the $56 fish and chip pack because he thought it was too much to pay. Where do you stand on that? Is $56 a reasonable price for a family fish and chip pack?
How many people is that serving? Four people?
Four. Two adults, two kids, Ben.
That sounds a bit too cheap, actually, I've got to say.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, that's how we describe Dave.
I've been told.
And the only other innovation before we go, Ben, I'd like you to think about is, I think at Attica you could introduce, you know those things that vibrate on your table when your meal's ready? Just have a think about it. I just think that's something that
could be a nice touch for when the Michelin,
Don't laugh, Mick. You never know what might happen here.
You never know.
Never know. He's doing
hey, Ben, what do you eat at home? What do you eat at home? What's your favourite dish? If you're sitting at home you're in your tracky dacks, what's your toe? You go, you know what? I just want to feel like what?
Oh, spaghetti bolognese, I guess, is probably.
You've got a great recipe for a bolognese. Yeah. Also, you recommend Frank's hot sauce. So cheap. Get it from your supermarket. I'm putting it on everything, Ben. A girlfriend of mine dropped off a bottle for me after we read you use it, so thank you.
It's wonderful. Yeah, good on you.
Ben.
Thanks for your time. And that's
thank you,
very good to hear. Keep up the good work.
Lovely to talk to you. Thank you.
Ben Shuri joining us there. Right up next is the Song Whisperer.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. With Jane, the Song Whisperer.
Kennedy Malloy. Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy.
It would have been a good summer, I reckon, because he does bang on about it a lot. 69. I hope it was good weather. He was down the beach and he was having a ball, and because
it sounds like it was a very good summer.
Yeah. Probably needs to let it go. You know
really?
What I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have thought.
What was your summer? What's your equivalent?
1984. Yeah. That was a good.
The summer of 84.
The Williams Road surf team was up and about.
That's enough.
And we were down at Canadian Bay, and there was a bevy of Toorak College beauties assembled on the beach. I was there in board shorts out there.
You were looking the best of all the guys.
Yeah. Like a chiseled bit of beefcake.
Anyway, let's get to the Song Whisperer.
Hey, Song Whisperer, what do you got? Synopsis, please.
This is about a woman who wants more. Society has tried to keep her down, tried to subjugate her, to control her, to limit her ambition and her ability to utilize her talents. She's sick of the double standards and hypocrisy, and she realizes that everyone else is either too stupid or too afraid to get out of her way and let her do her thing.
Jeez.
She.
Sounds a bit bolshy. Sounds like she's not very ladylike.
So. We've had a lot of men having their own opinions.
It's about a woman who wants more. It's about a woman who wants more. Society is trying to keep her down. I've never heard this story before. Tried to subjugate her, control her.
Subjugate?
Limit her ambition.
Steady on with all those words.
Is it Witchy Woman by The Eagles?
This would be one of Mick's favourites.
Oh, man. No, it is not is Witchy it, Woman.
Helen Reddy, I Am Woman.
Hear me roar.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Say a snap.
No, it's no. not.
No.
But it's a more modern version of something like that.
Rooting in the back of the ute. I'm just putting it out there.
Wow. Again, he's single.
Well, if you get it right, we'll give you an invite for our Rob Thomas Garrard session. Can't Help Me Now is a new single. We spoke with Rob yesterday. This is very exclusive.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah, and a slab of brick.
His house to your house. Yeah, it's like he's playing for you in his studio, in his house.
So intimate.
On the guitar, having a chat. You know, you can take all your clothes off and...
Well, you could if you wanted.
I suppose you could.
You get your cuddle curtain out. You do what you want. It's an intimate one-on-one with Rob Thomas.
133353.
Drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Looking forward to a team. Adam Rosenbach's not far away.
Excellent
news. He found a kid. He said he found a kid somewhere.
Found a child?
What? I hope he returned it. I don't know. We'll get to the bottom.
Okay, it's Gone Wild. It's Thursday. We love that. And we've got some evidence of incredible dogs trained. Well, should I spoil what it is? They're trained to do something that could be life-saving for the world. Dogs trained to sniff out COVID-19.
Bang.
I knew dogs would do that.
Well,
dogs will save the world.
They're the best.
Well done. You can have a schmacko for you.
Big schmackos. Greg Norman's selling his Colorado estate.
Wow.
You've got to check it out, guys.
You have to see it. It's big. It's bold. It's a bit like Greg himself.
It's good if you're into taxidermy.
Really?
That's right.
Jeez.
We may or may not get to the... I want to ask you a couple of questions about influencer. What it takes.
Oh, yes, you're fascinated.
Well, now that I have 70,000 followers.
Have you got 70?
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't like
when
talking.
When did that happen?
No, I don't like talking.
Jeepers.
Once I started posting my nudies, couple of dick pics, Jane, and you're away.
Well, hey, you can tag me in a few things.
We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. So much to get through, but we're going to start with Song Whisperer. Jay, synopsis, please.
This is about a woman who wants more. Society has tried to keep her down, tried to subjugate her, to control her, to limit her ambition and her ability to utilize her talents. She's sick of the double standards and hypocrisy, and she realizes that everyone else is either too stupid or too afraid to get out of her way and let her do her thing.
Okay.
Okay. Can I have a guess?
Sure.
Is it the theme from Ice Castles?
Oh, hang on.
This is...
You're joking. Don't tease me with this.
No, I bring this
hang
up
Hang on,
because...
here it is. Here it is, wait.
Please don't let this feeling end. It's everything.
Oh, my God, I'm going to cry.
Hit her on the
she's
head,
she's skating
please.
On the ice by herself. She's blind. And it's the first time she's
and
trying to go
they're throwing
rose
petals on the ice.
They're throwing ice rose petals on the ice, and she can't see it.
But she could trip over and break her neck.
No, it's all right. And Robbie Benson's in it, and he's the love interest in it. Oh, my God. This is so sad.
For anyone just tuning in, we did a segment called Chick Flicks before. We were talking about ice skating films.
Oh, my God. And, there is only one ice skating film.
And Jane's gone berserk and started thumping the table off air again. There's only one.
My
it's
friends
ice
will
castle.
Know what
she's,
I'm talking about.
She's blind. She's a skater. They throw rose petals at her. Oh and God. I'm going... What kind of...
And
this sounds
the music,
like the most...
No, the music by Marvin Hamlisch and the words by Carol Bayer-Sager. You can't get more down my alley.
Wow. This was laboratory built to annoy men, this film. Yeah. Guys, Ice Castles, okay? Give it a wide berth.
Apparently it's not.
All right, do I need to give it a...
Well done. All right, but that's not why we're here today. We're here to get to the bottom of that synopsis. Andrew's on the line. Andrew, what do you think? It's an uptight woman, and she's not happy. She's got a few beefs with the world. Not. You know, a bit whiny. But
wow,
have you got an idea, Andrew?
Well, look, I know this isn't the right guess because I've reconsidered, but I'm not going to change it because that's happened to me before in the queue and it's not nice.
No.
Oh, actually. So,
might be the right one.
Oh, well,
you could win.
Yeah. You're the first caller up. It's not. But anyway.
Worked out a pattern.
But you thought you might as well milk it for all it's got, huh?
Andrew, well, a slab of Brick Lane coming your way. You just for being a good sport, yeah. Taking your medicine. Mm. It is. It's a bit of a kick in the pills, number one, isn't it?
Hang on. Yeah, okay. So it's all right. Go on.
What's your guess?
Well, you might win this.
Four non-blondes.
Which one?
What's up?
Oh, what's up?
That's not a bad song, is it?
Great song.
Linda Perry on vocals there, who produced a bunch of Pink records.
She did. Great band. What's
Andrew, I've got a bad feeling about this.
Yes, so do I, mate.
Andrew, Jay?
He knows our secrets and how we operate, but he's not correct.
He's not correct.
That's outrageous.
Someone ask him off air what his guess is, and I'll bet you it probably is the winner. Thank you, Andrew. Chris is on the line. Chris, where are you calling from?
Warragul.
What happens in Warragul?
Not a lot, really.
Not a lot. Have you got something? You got something you could sell from Warragul if Australia had to raise money to economic services?
Oh yeah, that's a good question.
What could you sell from Warragul that would get us some money? You're never going to be the mayor of Warragul, are you? What's that?
Mostly dairy goods, farming town. So be dairy.
Farming town. Oh, that's good farming country. Good blue chip. Mm. Dairy country? Is it dairy country, Warragul?
Chris wants to be put under. He doesn't want to be put under pressure.
Mm. You got some good cows. Got some like good strong beef there.
Turn into Wagyu.
I don't think he's into this.
I see that pumped about Warragul.
He doesn't want to be put under the pump. He's just
should have a bit more pride.
He's ring up for a song whisperer segment.
He's ring up for song whisperer, and all of a sudden you're making a spokesman for Warragul.
What's the biggest story that's ever hit Warragul? What happened? Chris? Was there like something happened? Did a bomb ever go off? Or did like
Who's
a strange
the most
murder?
Famous person from Warragul? Yeah. Who's Warragul's famous favourite son?
Favourite son.
Or daughter?
Off the top of my head, Dale Thomas is from down the road in Druin, but...
Dale Thomas, AFL footballer?
Dale Thomas, footballer?
Yeah. You can't claim him, mate. It's Druin. Mm. We're not talking to Chris from Druin. It's Chris from Warragul.
I'll tell you what. Let's get to Chris's song. How about that?
All right.
What is it?
Dolly Parton, 9 to 5. Working
9 to 5. Okay, this fits the criteria in my book.
9 to 5.
Yes.
It was. They weren't happy, the girls, were they, in the office? 9 to 5.
Don't say that. They weren't happy, the girls. They worked for an absolute asshole.
Oh, okay.
That's why they weren't happy. And that's not rude, by the way. You don't have to dump that. Let's grow up. I'm just saying.
Didn't dump. It's gone to air.
And by the way, why'd you turn on me? I said the girls weren't happy. It wasn't a nice working environment.
Oh, because these girls are always... They sort of go, the girls weren't happy.
I'm probably a bit lippy, but not my whole... Okay, what do we got? 9 to 5. Jay.
Not correct.
No. Bad luck. Andrew is calling. What's your guess?
Oh, and then we've got Matt next.
If I say...
Hello, Matt.
G'day, Jane. How are you?
Yeah,
well, thanks.
Good. Oh, my God. Now, I'm going to let you just go for it because I can see here the song that you have, which is one of my all-time favourite songs.
All right.
And I think you might be red hot because it sums up to me just the good times of being a woman.
Look, it doesn't impress me much, I must say, Jane. But
to name another song by the artist, the way.
All right,
go ahead. What is it?
Well, I thought you and Twain, that don't impress me much, or whatever it's called.
Oh, I thought you said, man,
you said
I feel like a woman.
Oh,
sorry. I did.
Come on, Matt.
I did. I had too long on the phone to think about it, I think.
You said, I feel like a woman.
One of the worst interviews I've ever done. Really?
Oh, Shania Twain?
Shania Twain?
Was really?
Oh, well, she didn't care for you, obviously.
No, I'm kidding.
Her minders didn't care for me, I have to say.
Well, they found you intimidating. Yeah. She was probably scared. It happens a lot.
Juvenile, I think. Okay, Matt, nothing for you. Bad.
That's
Matt.
Not right.
It's okay. Not Shania. Okay. It's not Shania.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Are you right there? How are you going?
It's okay.
I'm okay. I'm hanging in there. Andrew.
He's back.
I'm back, yes. Not boding well again, but Pat Benatar all fired up.
Hang on, is this the guy who guessed the four non-blondes a minute ago?
He's gone four non-blondes. He's back again.
Yes, a woman Pat wants Bennett. More. Yeah. Society's tried to keep it down. They've tried to subjugate her, and she's all fired up.
Song Whisperer.
As much as I love Pat Benatar, it's not Pat.
No, Andrew. Andrew, ring in again. That's the first.
I'll tell you what,
Amanda.
Okay.
What are you doing?
I was just going to say, we'll get you an invite to our Rob Thomas Garrard session anyway.
Yes, there you go.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for getting through again.
It pays off.
Yeah, exactly.
Amanda.
Hi, guys.
Come on, you can do this.
Yeah,
you can do this.
Not first time caller because it's the first time I've got through.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So happy to have you on board, Amanda.
Thanks, guys. Look, I'm thinking it's Just a Girl by No Doubt.
Best stylish woman. What's her name?
Yeah, Gwen Stefani. That's a country singer. Blake Shelton's the squeeze.
What's the film clip she does
in an orange jumpsuit?
Yeah, when she's with No Doubt. But now she's hooked up with Blake Shelton, who's the country singer.
Mm.
She left her husband. And you don't
like him? Ton of runner.
No.
You know why? Because she was unhappy.
Her husband, because he was having an affair.
She was being trodden down.
Yeah. Of habit. Breeding the nanny.
Gavin Rossdale was her first husband.
Yeah. Bush. Yeah. The guitarist.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Say Song Whisperer. Any danger?
Amanda, first-time caller, first-time winner.
Hey!
We better have something good for Amanda.
Yeah, we've got invite to our Rob Thomas Garrard session, and you've also got a slab of Brick Lane coming your way. And how about we play the song right now?
Have a party with that, Amanda. Business.
Thanks, Amanda. Up next, well done, Adam Rosenbach.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
A good friend of the show and one of my good mates, very funny man. Also one of the two writers we have on the front bar, which is coming
Excellent.
Back very
oh, that's
soon.
Good news.
Out in front of the football season, which is almost upon us. It's Adam Rosenbach. How are you, Adam?
I'm very good, Kennedy Malloy. How are you guys?
Very good. Have you seen footy season's coming up? Have you been following it? Are you getting your eye in? Have you heard about this bonk ban? Is this coming across your desk at all, AFL players?
I'm excited about the bonk ban. I was reading that if you get COVID-19, you get a fine. If you get anything else, you get a rash.
That's about it in a nutshell, I would say.
Yeah. I feel sorry for the guys who are on the hub on the Gold Coast, you know, because like as a toolie, trust me, COVID-19 is the least of your worries.
But also, if you're on a bonk ban, why be in the Gold Coast, which is like, you know, that's the hardest place in the world.
The home of it. You know what I reckon? I reckon they should go the other way and actually encourage the players to get out there bonking. So, like, if a player gets to 100, the crowd runs on and pats him on the back.
You know what they should do? And that's not a bad theory. They should all get out there and bonk their brains out until they achieve what I call herd immunity.
That's a perfect way to do it.
And cut one from the herd.
Adam, I was just going to say, I've heard a rumour that you might have found a lost child, and it fills me with fear and trepidation, to be frank.
It is true. I don't still have him.
Well, that's a rumour.
So basically, I was playing golf on Friday, so I'm in Victoria. It was the first time we'd been allowed out for months to play golf.
Yeah.
And so I just played the first hole and was walking with my mate to the second hole, and it goes on a bit of a path. It's a public course. We're not all like Mick. We can't all just live on a private podcast.
Oh,
that's true.
Yeah.
I've
never actually been invited to play golf down with Mick. The only thing I get invited to is to watch the Richmond Grand Final replays at 1 a.m.
It's on as we speak.
I don't doubt that.
So you're playing golf, and what happens? A kid runs out, or what happens?
Yeah, so we're walking to the next hole, and there was a kid on his bike, and he said, oh, excuse me, I've lost my mummy.
No.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I was, like, heartbroken. I remember thinking on the second tee, I hope he finds it.
Right, so you realised put in there, did you?
My actual first thought, Jane, was this is going to ruin my golf day. Like, this is...
That, do you know that's a typical
thought? Please tell
thought.
Me, yeah.
I swear this is true. At my golf club, and this is a few years ago, the guys were on the 17th, and one of the playing group had a heart palpitation and dropped to the ground. Oh. He had a heart attack. They flew a chopper onto the fairway and put him on, and they said to his mates, do you want to get in the chopper and come with your friends? And they go... Yeah, no, we might just finish because they were playing really good rounds.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing. You're on the 7th, 8th. We'll just see this out. We'll meet him down there, which is a good story.
Which I get. So because I don't have kids, so I didn't quite know what to do because he was really young. He was aged between like 5 and maybe 15. I can't really tell ages.
You're very good with children, clearly, Rosie.
I'm very good. And so I thought I'll ask him some questions just to try and get a gauge of what was going on because he was very casual about it because, you know, like, When you're little and you lose sight of your parents, that's like the worst thing in the world. Like, you think you're going to die, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no, the only worse feeling than that is, you know, when you went to grab your mum or dad's hand and it wasn't your mum or dad? Remember that?
Dave, you're lucky. You seem to remember that.
Very much.
You'd like, you'd look down and go, Dad doesn't wear those kind of shoes. And then you look up and you're like, Dad's not Somalian. This is not So I said to him, I was just like, so, well, which way were you going, mate? Because he was just stationary on the bike, and he said, I don't know. And I was like, okay, well, were you in front of your mum or were you behind your mum? And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, oh, God. And I was like, so what suburb are you in? So I could kind of get a gauge of how far he'd gone or whatever. And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, I reckon she's lost you on purpose, mate. You're a dick. Like, she's ridden off to start again.
Right. No. She's dumped him. That's like a dog.
She has dumped him. And so we kind of stood there for a minute, and then another couple of women walked past, and they're like, is everything okay? And we sort of said, he's lost his mum. And then she was just like another, say, 70 metres down the path. So I think of what happened was she had ridden off, and he was just dawdling and just got lost in his own world. And then because she was very, you know, unconcerned, she just kind of looked down the track. He rode off to where him. That was the end of it. I was like, oh,
you didn't get the big reunion you wanted. You didn't want that.
No.
Oh, my God, thank you so much. My child's been missing.
She didn't care one little bit. She's just like, oh, I'll dickhead up the path and go missing again.
Pretty good way to meet women, though, wouldn't it? Returning them their kids.
You're
lost
right.
Kids.
Yeah, it's if it happened more than once, I think you could be in trouble. You know what? That's not the first time I've had a lost kid involved with me either.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, not my fault again. I was on a tram and I was going into the city and there was a mum there at the tram stop when the tram pulled up with her two little boys and the tram pulls up and one of the little boys jumped on and then the mum went to grab like a bag and the other little kid and as she turned around, the door shut and the tram just took off and left this little boy on the tram.
Oh,
so I had to look after another little kid a second time.
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling the cops. I'm sticking to this.
We might be seeing you in court sometime soon. I would suggest. Hey, mate, we're nearly out of time. I just want to ask you quickly, have you managed to get out of isolation yet? I know you like a drink. Have you had a drink? What have you been doing?
I managed to go out for a dinner party on Saturday night, and I paid for the price for that on Sunday, and I was very happy. I didn't get into the Fireball, Dave.
Oh,
sorry,
okay.
Mate.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. Yeah.
I'm not a connoisseur like some
Neither
of us.
Neither am
you know?
I.
What is it that you're partial to at the moment?
I mean, a Bacardi Breeze is kind of nice. Don't you get into the pink ones
are
good this time of year.
Bacardi Breezer.
Really? That's
okay. Someone's going to see you with a Bacardi Breezer holding hands with a little kid, and they're going to go, that guy is no good. Hey, Adam, have you got anything to plug? Are you out? No gigs, obviously. Are you doing any of these Zoom conferences or anything like that? You got a podcast out?
I've got the Junk Time AFL podcast. If anyone's interested in footy and a laugh, check that out.
Awesome.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for always
great
a pleasure
talk.
To catch up. And I'll be seeing you at the front bar very soon.
Looking forward to it, mate. See you guys.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Mick and Jane. Gone Wild.
Well, I love this story more than anything because I know that dogs are put here to save the planet and save all the people. Trials are taking place to see whether specially trained airport sniffer dogs can detect COVID-19 in travellers even before symptoms appear. I think this is absolutely genius. Researchers from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine have got together to see if dogs will be able to pick up the shift on COVID sufferers. It's given the team a big boost, the UK government, of funds to put towards the research. They've recruited six dogs dubbed the Super Six. Have we got a story on this, Dave?
Yeah, here it is.
The training is successful. One of their first deployments is likely to be airports, where dogs are already used to sniff out drugs and other contraband. That could be the boost to international trade that governments everywhere have been looking for.
Well done. The rest. I mean, if you don't, we don't need an app. We just need a dog.
Yeah,
that's a good dog that can do that. We could pick up drugs, or if you've got COVID-19. So if you see a guy sweating and with a dog there, it could still be for either reason.
Yep.
That's true. But
there's a history of this, because dogs, as we know, are used at airports, but the dogs have successfully identified cancer inside the bodies of human beings.
Wow.
So they have an ability through...
They can calm people when they're having epileptic fits.
Yeah.
And they can dry hump your leg at the same time, which is so...
See, they're so diverse. They're clever, aren't they? I love that.
I diagnosed some COVID-19. Schmacko.
Yeah.
Schmacko for you.
Look, good Schmacko's, good boy.
Hey, can I go to... I think this is the new source, the epicentre of trouble in this country when it comes to animal life. Cairns Aquarium. Now, you know... We talked about the groper that was sad the other day because there was no customers.
Yeah.
He was performing to empty houses.
That's sad.
As they say in the classics. They said the groper was sad. I say that's how they look. Gropers look like this.
They do.
They got big sulky lips.
Yeah.
Well, the Cairns Aquarium is back in the news this time because Peter have told them to stop serving fish, seafood, at the aquarium because it's making the other fish sulky.
Well, that's fair enough.
I swear to God, the claim was that the fish are all sulky because they're sitting there clearly watching.
And you know, Peter stands for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. That's what Peter stands for. And at the restaurant called Dundee's, at the Cairns Aquarium. So I think it is pretty outrageous. If you're sitting there hurrying into a piece of barramundi and all of a sudden you're seeing your cousin... In the aquarium,
How's it differ from every Chinese restaurant I've ever been to? I'll have that lobster.
Yeah, again, I don't like that.
I'll have that fish.
Yeah.
And I'll have that bat.
Again. and hasn't that worked out well?
Yeah.
But I reckon at the aquarium you should be able to go over to the glass and pick one out. That one. I'll have that one there.
I'll have the electric eel, thanks.
Yeah, and it'll cost you $56.
Dave wouldn't treat his family to seafood in that restaurant. Dundee's would be way too expensive.
Okay, now let's go on to a story about a bloke that is a hero in our eyes here at Kennedy Malloy.
Is he? Define hero, and I'm not sure it's...
Well, for a start, he's got a ripping name. He's known only as Django, starting with a D. So he's a hero in my eyes, but he's gone with that. He is being threatened with thousands of dollars in fines because he saved a small baby whale that was trapped in a shark net. He apparently tampered with the net to get the whale out, and all hell's broken loose, and now he's going to be fined for hacking into the net. Have we got that story, Dave?
Saw the whale. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then I saw he's in the net, and I thought, well, that's not that cool. My heart was just pumping.
The diver celebrated with a fist pump when the young whale started to swim away.
It was really cut up, actually. I don't know how long he'd been there for.
Some witnesses have called the diver a hero, but the Department of Fisheries says what he did was downright dangerous.
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
Oh, the Department of Fisheries says he's in trouble. It's so tedious.
It's none of his business. He should have just let it.
Oh, no.
What do you mean? Hey, beautiful whale stuck in a shark net.
Hey, whale, you snooze, you lose. You saw the net. The net was there. It's just part of growing up and being adult and making adult decisions in the ocean.
Listen, I suppose you are a man that likes dolphins. You want dolphins to
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I rescued a dolphin. I rescued a whale. All I see is sashimi. All I see is a very beautiful fish
that
I could eat.
No, Django is my new hero. It's un-Australian if he's fined. And please, because they're saying he could be fined between $1,300 and $55,000. What is wrong with people who have this uniform wearing mentality?
Okay, well, they're just doing their job, and And some idiot called Django is destroying their nets. What do you expect them to do?
You're saving a whale.
Isn't that the easiest way to become a hero or to, you know, if you're saving a whale, you're basically trying to ingratiate yourself to.
You don't like blubbery animals, do you? Which is unusual.
As one myself. Hey, we've got to go, but I do have time quickly just to say this big news, breaking news. Yeah. Scientists have made a mouse that's 4% human.
They have
been mucking around with the genetics, and they've got a mouse that's 4%.
But how does that work? In what way? What part?
Have you seen those
human?
Mice with the human ears attached? Remember that? That's it.
That's
ta-da! I don't know what they're doing down there. It sounds like the island of Dr. Moreau.
I don't know what's going on there. Stop
get out there.
With that.
Hey,
go and find a cure for coronavirus.
Stop mucking around with mice, you idiots. All right.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Django up there in Cairns with the whale in the net. Breaking news that he has not been fined. So he gets away.
Well, that's disappointing.
No.
He should at least be made to fix the net. That's a wildlife and fisheries net.
That's all the people at Wildlife do. Let them do their job, and Django save the whales.
I want you to go up there, go swimming, and get your leg bitten off. Get your leg bitten off by a shark that's crawled through the hole in the thing. And then
I talk to the shark with my eyes.
Shark
wouldn't attack me.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm an animal whisperer. You know that.
Would you punch a shark in the face?
Never.
I'd get in the headlock and rub my knuckles over his head. Would you?
Shark would not eat me, trust me.
Right.
I'm quite happy not being punched by a shark. Yeah. Hey, it's the end of the week tomorrow.
We're done.
Yeah, done for today. Hey, Friday. Ross Noble's on the show tomorrow.
Ella Hooper.
We've got our week in review. Brilliant. Clown of the week. That'll be a massive Friday.
See you, everyone.
Now you're all caught up on Kennedy Malloy.